The Kazin snorted, and Louis felt him leave his shoulder. He let the ship settle a last few inches, then snapped off a succession of switches. "I have a point to make," he said. "Teela and I are collecting the same fee between us that Speaker to Animals is collecting alone."
"Do you wish additional pay? I will consider your suggestions."
"I want something you don't need anymore," Louis told the puppeteer. "Something your race left behind them." He'd picked a good moment for bargaining. He didn't expect it to work, but it was certainly worth a try. "I want the location of the puppeteer planet."
Nessus's heads swung out from their shoulders, then turned back to face each other. For a moment, Nessus held his own stare before asking, "Why?"
"Once upon a time, the location of the puppeteer world was the most valuable secret in known space. Your own kind would have paid a fortune in blackmail to keep that secret," said Louis. "That was what made it valuable. Fortune hunters searched every G and K star in sight looking for the puppeteer world. Even now, Teela and I could sell the information to any news network for good money."
"But if that world is outside known space?"
"Ah," said Louis. "My history teacher used to wonder about that. The information would still be worth money."
"Before we depart for our ultimate destination," the puppeteer said carefully, "you will know the coordinates of the puppeteer world. I think you will find the information more surprising than useful."
Again, for a heartbeat, the puppeteer peered into his own eyes. He broke the pose.
"I direct your attention to four conical projections."
"Yeah."
Louis had already noticed the open-mouthed cones, pointing outward and downward around the double cabin.
"Are those the fusion motors?"
"Yes. You will find that the ship behaves very like a ship driven by reactionless thrusters, except that there is no internal gravity. Our designers had little room to spare. Concerning the operation of the Quantum II hyperdrive, there is a thing I must warn you about."
"I have a variable sword," said Speaker to Animals. "I urge calm."
It took a moment for the words to register. Then Louis turned, slowly, making no sudden gestures.
The Kazin stood against a curved wall. In one clawed fist he held something like an oversized jump rope handle. 10 feet from the handle, held expertly at the level of the Kazin's eyes, was a small glowing red ball. The wire which joined ball to handle was too thin to be visible, but Louis didn't doubt it was there. Protected and made rigid by a slaver stasis field, the wire would cut through most metals, including, if Louis should choose to hide behind it, the back of Louis's crash couch. And the Kazin had chosen a position such that he could strike anywhere in the cabin. At the Kazin's feet, Louis saw the unidentified haunch of alien meat. It had been ripped open, and of course, it had been made hollow.
"I would have preferred a more merciful weapon," said Speaker to Animals. "A stunner would have been ideal. I could not procure one in time. Louis, take your hands off the controls and put them on the back of your couch."
Louis did. He had thought of playing with the cabin gravity, but the Kazin would have cut him in two if he'd tried it.
"Now, if you will all remain calm, I will tell you what will happen next."
"Tell us why," Louis suggested.
He was estimating chances. The red bulb was an indicator to tell Speaker where his invisibly thin wire blade ended. But if Louis could grab that end of the blade and keep from losing his fingers in the process... No, the bulb was too small.
"My motive should be obvious," said Speaker.
The black markings around his eyes had taken on the look of a bandit's mask in a cartoon. The Kazin was neither tense nor relaxed, and he stood where he was almost impossible to attack.
"I intend to give my world control of the Longshot. With the Longshot as a model, we will build more such ships. Such ships would give us a killing superiority in the next Man-Kazin war, provided that men do not also have designs for Longshot. Satisfactory?"
Louis made his voice sarcastic.
"You couldn't be afraid of where we're going."
"No."
The insult slid right past him. How would a Kazin recognize sarcasm?
"You will all disrobe now, so that I may know that you are unarmed. When you have done so, I will request the puppeteer to don his pressure suit. We will board the Longshot. Louis and Teela will stay behind, but I will take your clothing and your luggage and your pressure suits. I will disable this ship.
Doubtless the outsiders, curious as to why you have not returned to Earth, will come to help you long before your life system fails. Do you all understand?
Louis Wu, relaxed and ready to take advantage of any slip the Kazin might make. Louis Wu glanced at Teela Brown from the corner of his eye and saw a horrible thing. Teela was bracing herself to jump the Kazin. Speaker would cut her in two. Louis would have to move first.
Don't be foolish, Louis. Stand up slowly and move against the wall. You shall be the first to...
Speaker let the word trail off in a kind of croon. Louis halted his leap, caught by a thing he didn't understand. Speaker to animals threw back his big orange head and mewed, an almost supersonic squeal. He threw his arms wide, as if to embrace the universe. The wire blade of his variable sword cut through a water tank without slowing noticeably. Water began dripping out on all four sides of the tank. Speaker didn't notice. His eyes didn't see, his ears didn't hear.
"Take his weapon," said Nessus.
Louis moved. He approached cautiously, ready to duck if the variable sword should move his way. The Kazin was waving it gently, like a baton. Louis took the handle from the Kazin's unresisting fist. He touched the proper stud, and the red ball retracted until it touched the handle.
"Keep it," said Nessus.
He clamped his jaws on Speaker's arm and led the Kazin to a crash couch. The Kazin made no resistance. He was no longer making sounds. He stared into infinity, and his great furry face showed only a vast calm.
"What happened? What did you do?"
Speaker to animals, totally relaxed, stared at infinity and purred.
"Watch," said Nessus.
He moved carefully back from the Kazin's crash couch. He held his flat heads high and rigid, not so much pointed as aimed, and at no time did his eyes leave the Kazin. The Kazin's eyes focused suddenly. They flicked from Louis to Teela to Nessus. Speaker to animals made plaintive snarling sounds, sat upright, and switched to Interworld.
"That was very, very nice. I wish..."
He stopped and started over.
"Whatever you did," he told the puppeteer, "do not do it again."
"I judged you to be a sophisticate," said Nessus. "My judgment was accurate. Only a sophisticate would fear a TASP."
Teela said, "Ah."
Louis said, "TASP?"
The puppeteer addressed himself to Speaker to Animals.
"You understand that I will use the TASP every time you force me to. I will use it if you make me uneasy. If you attempt violence too often, or if you startle me too often, you will soon become dependent on the TASP. Since the TASP is a surgically implanted part of me, you would have to kill me to possess it, and you would still be ignobly bound by the TASP itself."
"Very astute," said the speaker. "Brilliantly unorthodox tactics. I will trouble you no more."
"Tonge, will somebody tell me what a TASP is?" Louis's ignorance seemed to surprise everybody. It was Teela who answered.
"It jolts the pleasure center of the brain."
"From a distance?" Louis hadn't known that that was even theoretically possible.
"Sure, it does for you just what a touch of current does for a wire head. But you don't need to drop a wire into your brain. Usually a TASP is just small enough to aim with one hand."
"Have you ever been hit by a TASP? None of my business, of course." Teela grinned derision for his delicacy.
"Yes, I know what it feels like. A moment of, well, there's no describing it. But you don't use a TASP on yourself. You use it on someone who isn't expecting it. That's where the fun comes in. Police are always picking up TASPers in the parks."
"Your TASPs," said Nessus, "induce less than a second of current. Mine induces, prox, 10 seconds.
The effect on Speaker to Animals must have been formidable, but Louis saw other implications.
"Oh, wow, that's beautiful, that's lovely. Who but a puppeteer would go around with a weapon that does good to the enemy?"
"Who but a prideful sophisticate would fear too much pleasure?" "The puppeteer is quite right," said Speaker to Animals. "I would not risk the TASP again. Too many jolts from the puppeteer's TASP would leave me his willing slave. I, a Kazin, slave to a herbivore."
Let us board the Longshot, Nessus said grandly. We have wasted enough time on trivialities.